But if you've got your Bibles this morning, if you would open them in the New Testament to 2 Thessalonians, we'll try to share a thought with you. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And as a sidebar, I will be taking my text quite proudly this morning out of the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. If you found your place, you could stand with me. We'll reverence the reading of God's holy word. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now letteth will lay it, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Our holy and heavenly Father, Lord, we come bowing our unworthy head before Your throne this morning. Lord, we come, Lord, needing You like we've never needed You before. Lord, we know it was You that saved us and You that called us, and God, You that laid this message upon our hearts. But Lord, all I can do is stand here with Your help and with the unction I desire from the Holy One and declare it, Lord, to Your people. And I pray, God, that Your will, Lord, would be done. I pray, Father, if it be Your will, Lord, that You'd bind Satan and all the powers of darkness from this place this morning, and the precious Holy Ghost would have free liberty and reign to do that. That would glorify You and exalt the name of our dear Savior, that precious Jesus they just sung about. Lord, have Your will and way in hearts and lives, and we'll praise You and worship You and honor You. In Christ's name we do very humbly pray. Amen.
Thank you so very much, and you may be seated. There's some reasons Paul has written this second epistle to the church at Thessalonica. There seemed to have been some confusion to this church. They were no doubt enduring persecution during this time. Persecution, I might add, that we don't endure this morning. I mean, we're quite free to sit here. We've not went through really any hardship to make it into the house of God this morning. But at this time, when Paul wrote this second epistle to the church at Thessalonica, there was also some false doctrine that had been circulating. I believe in verse 2 he alludes to that when he says, "Not by word nor by as letter from us." In some of my studies I've seen that even a letter had been written to this church and signed falsely by Paul. And what it was, what the confusion church was about, was that the rapture had already occurred, that Christ had already called His church home, and that these folks, this church, were going through the tribulation. And Paul has to sit down and pen another letter so that he could help ground and root them into some doctrine regarding that it had not taken place. But there would be some signs and some things that we could be looking for before these events would take place. So with that as somewhat of an introduction, I would like to preach a message that I've entitled, Why I'm Thankful That I'll Miss the Tribulation. Why I'm Thankful I'll Miss the Tribulation this morning. You see, you might have went a couple of weeks ago up there and seen Dr. DeYoung, and he's a very intellectual person. He has all the prophetic knowledge that a man could ever gather from the Word of God. But you know what, church? He couldn't tell you when the Lord's coming back. He couldn't tell you who the Antichrist is. He might have had his faults on who he is and some views, but he couldn't tell you that. Now, I can't stand here this morning and tell you when the Lord's going to call us home and who the Antichrist is and these certain things. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this morning that if you're looking at one little old feller who's thankful, praise God, that I'm going to miss the tribulation. Now, there's some events on God's prophetic calendar. Right now, as we sit here in this wonderful sanctuary, we're living under an umbrella and a window of grace. But make no mistake about it, the next event on God's prophetic calendar to take place is going to be the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, God's judgment is going to be poured out on planet Earth and on mankind as has never been nor ever will be again. Now, I know what you're thinking. Please don't tune me out. Please don't turn me off. I did not come up here to try to scare you this morning. I did not come up here to try to make you doubt your salvation. All I come up here to do is declare to you what God has placed on my heart. But if I could somehow scare somebody into getting saved, which I can't, I would. Because I'd rather come through fear to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than be damned and go to a devil's hell. I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation, number one, because the saints will be removed. You think about that. Again, the rapture. I've told you this before. You say, well, preacher, rapture's not in the Bible. And you're right, that word rapture is not in the Bible. But in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, if you read on down through there, Paul tells us there's a word in there that we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. And that Greek word, harpazo, is exactly what the rapture means. It's where we get our word, rapturo, or rapture from the Greek word, the translation of that word, caught up. And it means a plucking up, a snatching away, a gathering up. In other words, it means there is not one thing. No matter how, if you're saved, glory, hallelujah, by the shed blood of Calvary this morning, there is no way that you're going to be able to hold on to anything or anyone if you're saved when that thing happens. Ain't nothing. You're going to be out of here, amen. Lose your gravitational pull. I know y'all's thinking, not that rapture thing again. Hey, I ought to excite you. The rapture, hard to excite. You know, there's a lot of doctrine there about we'll have to go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We'll have to endure all of it, so forth and so on. But I got to ask this question now. What about Noah? They said, now, preacher, and this might help somebody. I said, well, preacher, what about Noah? I mean, Noah wasn't delivered from God's judgment. He was delivered through God's judgment. Amen? I said, well, you're right there. He still had to endure that flood. Now, God made provision and brought him out on the other side of that flood through God's judgment. However, Noah does not, hear me, represent the bride of Christ. He represents Israel, God's chosen people. If you want to find the bride of Christ in the Old Testament, go back to Genesis chapter 5 and look at a great-grandfather by the name of Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and God took him. He took him. Give them some of that and see where they go with that. I want to say that before the first drop of rain fell,
God's judgment in that flood? Enoch had already been took. Now listen to me, if you're saved this morning before the first drop of judgment, I'm talking judgment during the tribulation falls, you'll done be out of here. I don't say, praise God, I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation, because the saints will be removed. In other words, you'll never see nary a service like you're seeing right here this morning, August the 16th at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, again, when the churches took out. You might see a group of people gathered up together, but I'll guarantee you one thing, it won't be like this right here. Number two, I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation because sin will have no restraint. No restraint. Look with me in verse 7. I don't know which one of you said that, but you're ahead of me. Amen. Praise God somebody's with me. In verse 7, the Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now, who do you reckon he is? Now let me back up just a second here. The Holy Spirit is not some apparition that merely floats around in space from place to place. He's the third person of the Trinity of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He's a person. And He can be offended and He can be grieved. And sin will have no restraint on planet Earth and mankind when the blessed Holy Spirit's took out of this thing. So I don't know if I can buy that or not. Who do you think is holding back God's judgment or wickedness from coming full force in all evil today? It ain't you and I. Take for example the condition of America today. 4,000 babies slaughtered in abortion clinics every single morning. 4,000. It's America. Home of the free and the brave. Murdered babies. Listen to this. 25 million gallons of beer are going to be sold in America today. 25 million gallons. And I believe that statistic would probably be higher on Sundays. How you get that, preacher? Well, what does most everybody go home and do? Watch some race, some ball game, some something that's got nothing but alcohol to do with it. Didn't like that, did you? And now, wonderful spruce pine. We can add her to that wonderful statistic about all the millions of gallons of beer being sold. God help! Listen to this. It gets better in America. $35 million spent on pornography purchased in America today. $35 million. If we could somehow reach those folks with the gospel of Christ and get them turned around, amen, and not spending that money but put it in the offering plate doing stuff, what an economy boost that'd be. $35 million. 1,800 businesses will be broken into today. Now that might not bother you, but I wrote that down because, Brother Bobby, if you got a business and somebody breaks into it, if you worked your whole life, that bothers you. 1,100 women will be raped in America today. And that may not bother you either unless it's somebody young family. Goodness forbid that happens too. Boy, I ain't got no use for that junk. Over 1 million teenage girls will have babies this year in America. And that's kind of a double-edged sword. Praise God that they didn't have abortions. But we've still got over 1 million teenage girls this year in America that's going to have babies. And you know what the sad thing is? They ain't going to have no daddy. Where's Daddy? Listen to this, church. The average age, Lord help us, of having sex in America is 13 to 14 years old. I'll tell you something. We can blame anybody that we want to blame, but it starts in the home. Schools. Miss Beth's schools teach us that we come from monkeys, but we can't carry a Bible. Now, if you'd seen me, Brother Tommy, if you'd seen me got up here to start preaching, and I'd pulled out a banana and started eating it, you'd probably turn me off, amen? How about this one? You can go to most any store, and you can go get gas, and you go in to pay, and the aisles are full with beer. Pallets and sacks of beer everywhere. You can't turn around. And now it's like that in Spruce Pine. And I love where I live. I'm not trying to just beat up on where I live. I care about where I live. And what's going on? Pornography. Drugs, alcohol, homosexuality, rebellion. Listen, 6 million teenagers, this just really got me, living on the streets every year in America rather than live with parents and obey their authority. Rebellion. Our jails, Brother Dean, our jails and our prisons are overloaded. They're overcrowded. Mental wards are packed. Psychiatrist offices are full. But if you think, oh, that's bad, glory, hallelujah, you ain't seen nothing yet. So God takes His church out of here. There will be no restraint of sin whatsoever when God takes His church out of here and the blessed Holy Spirit departs. Oh, He'll still have work to do, but you'll not be able to come in here like we're doing this morning. Be wooed and drawn and spoke to and loved up on and drawn to a place of repentance. So I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation because there will be no restraints of sin. Number three, I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation because the man of sin will be revealed. I read that to you there. That man of sin will be the Antichrist. Now we don't need to be so concerned, Brother Matt, with the Antichrist and who he is and all these things as we need to be so concerned that people know the Christ. Understand this. This Antichrist, he will obtain all his powers, his lying wonders that I read about there from Satan. I believe with all my heart in the beginning, he'll bring peace and he'll bring prosperity at least for those first 3.5 years. But he's going to form a one world government. Has anybody seen anything on the news in the last 6 months that points to a one world government? Hey, he's going to want a one world race. He's going to have a one world army. And he's going to have a one world religion. Brother Steve was sharing in the prayer room about these bumper stickers. And about how all they want is just everybody just to love everybody. Just everybody be just one. Amen. Which sounds good. But God calls you to be holy and separate, amen? Not like the world. Well, this feller, he's going to be full of these signs and lying wonders. And he's going to set himself up as God. And he's going to commit what Daniel in chapter 11, verse 31 speaks of as the abomination of desolation. And this is just shame, so take it with a grain of salt this morning. I believe he'll bring an unclean animal in. When he sets himself up as God, they're going to be sacrificing. I believe he's going to bring an unclean animal, possibly a swine, a pig, and he's going to sacrifice that thing unto himself and commit that abomination of desolation with that unclean animal. And when that blood hits that altar, glory, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you what, church, if I've never told you nothing else, you listen to me, God's judgment's going to pour out on this place.
You say, well, He's going to have control of all food, of all water, of all housing, of all health care. There's going to be no buying, no selling, no trading. Without you do what? Without you receive the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your right hand. That's the word. Once this mark is received, your soul is eternally damned to hell. So you say, I'll just take my chances. Right? I mean, tell me if I ain't preaching it right, glory, hallelujah. That's what people do every Sunday in and out. They take their chances. God, the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart and reveal your lost condition to you, and you'll sit there and you'll grip that, and you won't let pride or whatever hold you there. And you won't just come to Jesus. Brother John, I believe He'd save us before we ever got out of our things. Before we had to get down here, He'd save us right there. We'll just take our chances. I mean, you would never receive that mark of the beast, right? Right? Let me ask you something. Let's just suppose, goodness forbid, that this one world army, they come to your house. And they tell you. They say, Brother Matt, here you're a missionary, and I believe you're saved, glory, hallelujah, as I am, and you're going to go, but I know I can pick on you. And they say, Brother Matt, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to chop your head off. And you, church, say, well, I don't believe they'd chop nobody's head off. I'm going to ask you something. If you go to some of these Muslim countries and you stand up and you start openly and proclaiming and unashamedly proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think they won't cut your head off? Yes, they will. So why should it be hard for us to envision or to grasp that this could happen? And so they say, Brother Matt, we're going to cut your head off if you don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matt says, fine, I'm not denying. Cut my head off. And they say, well, you know what? We're not going to do that. But you've got a wife. Well, let's see, Brother Jeff, you've got a daughter and a wife. Huh? We'll just leave you. However, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to rape, we're going to pillage, we're going to torture your wife and daughter. What you going to do now? I'm going to bend. I mean, you get to your family, you do a lot of things to us, amen. Me and a dear friend talked about this week. You do a lot of things to me and you, Jason, me and you, that's fine. Boy, you get to my family, our youngins, that's a different story, ain't it? Maybe you think you'll hide. I mean, we're mountain folks. We hunt and fish. There's plenty of mountains here. Had Eric Rudolph, he hid for a long time up there. But you know what? I got to thinking about that. Maybe folks think they'll hide. You know what? They ain't going to hide. Think about this. With the technology that the U.S. government has right now, with satellite systems in orbit, they can look down right this very minute on little old me. And you think lies against that hate crimes bill. Listen, they could look right down on me, zoom in on me, and hear every single word that I'm saying right now. And do you think that he's not going to have that power? You ain't going to be able to hide. He's going to know where you're at. Your every location. So I'm thankful that I'll miss the tribulation because that man of sin will be revealed. Fourthly, I'm thankful I'll miss the tribulation because the judgment of God will be released. Now I'm going to let the Bible speak for me in these next little bit. God's going to pour His wrath and His judgment out upon planet Earth and mankind. Ain't never been, never will be, or ever will be again. The beginning of Revelation chapter 8, the seventh seal is open. The Bible says there is a silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. If you'll begin reading there in chapter 8, read on through about 16 there, you'll see what kind of judgments.
I'll go in there.
God will point something in there that can lift and encourage us.
But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be hell. There's going to be some trumpet judgment first. There's going to be hell and fire mingled with blood. A third of the trees are going to be burned up, and all green grass is going to be burned up.
I looked at my wife this morning. I fell out there mowing the yard as I come to church this morning. I said, "Glory, hallelujah, you better mow that grass while you can on Sunday, because one of these days, it's all going to be fried."
And it says as it were a great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea. I don't know what it says except for the Word of God. Maybe it's some kind of a meteor or something, but it's cast into the sea. And there's some results. A third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the sea creatures die. And a third of the ships are destroyed. A great star falls from heaven called wormwood. A third of the waters become bitter or poisonous. And many men die because of those waters. A third of the sun is smitten. A third of the moon is smitten. And a third of the stars are smitten. What does that mean? Well, I think it's going to be darker. The bottomless pit. Hell is going to be opened. And there's going to be some kind of monstrosity. Brother John, exile on the Isle of Patmos, he gives us a very good description of those things. But I believe with all my heart, soul, and mind tonight, don't believe my word, it's going to be some kind of monstrosity. Demons that are released from hell. They're going to torment and they're going to terrorize for 5 months solid. And you think this morning, Corey, hallelujah, your flesh is something to battle. There's going to be 4 wicked angels that's going to be released and a third of the earth's population is going to be killed. Now, if this ain't bad enough, church, listen to some additional judgments. The vials or the bowl judgments that's poured out. There's going to be grievous sores upon those who receive the mark of the beast. All the seeds are going to be turned to blood. All sea life is going to perish. All the fresh waters become blood. Men won't repent. You won't survive that water. You can go a long time without food. You won't survive that water. The sun's heat is intensified. Men are scorched. Still they blaspheme and there's no repentance. Darkness falls and there's extreme pain, still no repentance. And the river Euphrates is dried up and it makes an access or a roadway for the armies to come against Israel. And then there's some cataclysmic event that takes place. There's a great earthquake. Mountains and islands flee, they're leveled or they disappear completely, and hailstones weighing between 100 pounds begin to fall on men. You see, what's happening is God's judgment always had mercy and grace mingled in with it. When God takes His church out of here, God's judgment ain't going to have no mercy and grace mingled in with it when He pours it out on planet Earth. I'm thankful for our midst of tribulation because God's judgment will be poured out, will be released. Fifthly, I'm thankful for our midst of tribulation because salvation will be refused. Now, let me say this. I said at the beginning, I don't believe you're here by coincidence. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God didn't give me a message like this for no reason. Believe it with all my heart. You can take it as a little warning from a preacher. You can take it as an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful I missed the tribulation because salvation will be refused. Look with me in verse 10, second chapter, 2 Thessalonians. The Bible says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." In other words, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel. If you've not, please allow me about 60 seconds to give you a heartfelt good news. That's what the gospel
That's what the gospel means. You see, man is an old sinful creature. And we weren't able to redeem ourselves. There's nothing we could do. Nothing we could buy. There was no way that we could pay this sin debt that they sang about just a moment ago. See, God had a plan. Through His great love, He had a plan, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He done nothing on planet Earth but teaching and miracles and help folks. And He went to a hill called Calvary, and He willingly laid His life down, and He shed all His sinless, precious life blood that you and I might be saved. They took Him down from that cross. They wrapped Him up. They anointed His body. They put Him in a tomb. And 3 days later, they sung about it just a minute ago, there was a stone that was rolled away. And you know what? There wasn't anything in there. There was a napkin folded up. That meant that I'll be back. He showed Himself many infallible proofs for 40 days on planet Earth to His disciples. In His glorified body after His resurrection, took Him up on a hillside and ascended up into glory where He sits on the right hand of the Father right now. And you know what He's doing? He's making intercession, and He's interceding, and He is praying. Listen to me, church. He is praying this morning for you. And the Holy Ghost come down. And the Holy Ghost come to convict and reprove. In other words, I'm sitting 3 rows back right where Brother Damon is. The Holy Ghost come to me and got a hold of my heart and said, Shane, you're a counterfeit. You ain't saved. You're lost. But He pointed me to Calvary. He pointed me to Jesus. And Jesus saved me. And you say, preacher, it can't be that easy. Yes, it can. God made this thing of salvation so easy that all these children these past weeks and months in Bible school in Awana has got saved. You say, how'd that happen, preacher? You know why? Because when we're smaller, our hearts are tender, but we have a greater faith and we believe it's easier for us to believe. Well, I believe we ought to get them while we can. They're young if we can, if we can reach them before Satan gets a hold of them. And then as we grow older, well, we get this head knowledge thing and our hearts get hardened. And we, what's this one going to think? Well, Jerry, what's this one going to think? What's this going to think? They, what's people going to think if I get up out of my seat and come to an altar and just fall on my knees broken and contrite and say, Lord Jesus, save me. What's people going to think? The Bible says that when Jesus raptures His church out of this world, it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. And I studied on that. A twinkling of an eye is 1/20th of a second. That's how fast. That's fast, y'all. Lord, help me. You hear me? If we're sitting here right now, and the Father says, Son, go get your children. And He steps out and says, come up hither. Which, by the way, there's a little bit more for you if you'll look in Revelation chapter 4. The Bible says He told John, said, come up hither. And immediately He was in the Spirit. Immediately. And you don't see anything about the church all the way through the rest of Revelation. I challenge you to find me. Show it to me. When Christ calls His bride away, that wonderful event, Brother Dean, the rapture. Think about this. Just entertain me for a second here. Goodness forbid that somebody in this congregation underneath the sound of my voice be sitting here. It'll never happen. I know what you're thinking. Preacher's off his rocker. It can happen. It's going to happen. It's the Word of God. And you're sitting here and they're, whoop, out of here. And then you say, God! And it's too late. You will not get saved. Why? Because you rejected the Son of God and His sacrifice and the plan of salvation. Believe that with all my heart. Believe that with everything that's in me. You think He'll put it on? Huh?
Think about this. Some of you young people go home. Where's mom and daddy? Mom and daddy's gone. Husband, wife, be laying there in the bed and roll over to put your arm around your spouse. They're gone. Mama, that little youngin', go in there to check on her in her crib or her room in that toddler bed. Gone. Then you're going to get your vehicle and you're going to try to get up here back to the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. If you can get here, because things are going to be chaotic. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to be full. If you can get here, it's going to be full. Praise God for a wonderful crowd this morning, but this ain't nothing. It's going to be full. People, you have to try to push them out of your way to try to get down here to an altar. God, I believe you now. I believe that little old crazy preacher now. I believe your word now. And you know what? It's going to be too late. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I ain't. I'm telling you the truth. This ain't no fairy tale.
This ain't no fairy tale. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I looked that word succor up. It's from the Greek word boetheo, and it means to help, to aid, or to relieve. Now let me read that, not adding anything to the Word of God, but just trying to give you a definition again. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, have I aided thee, have I relieved thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." It ain't tomorrow. It ain't tonight. It's now. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my strength,
God gave me this message because they spoke right here this morning that if Christ stepped out and called His church away, you'd be sitting here. I'm going to ask you to stand. Bow your heads. Christians, pray. Says you be as reverent to the Holy Spirit. Somebody come pray, Miss Nita. It's whatever God lays on your heart.
Church, I always just give invitations as God leads me to give invitations. And I was at a preaching in the foothills last week, and there was a man of God preaching. He said, "I always give an invitation every single time." And I thought, well, I don't do that. Why does he do that? And he said, "You know, I don't want blood on my hands. For not giving an invitation, there might be somebody that needs to get saved. I can't save you. I want to tell you, church, God's winding this thing up. And He's put every one of us here today for a specific reason. And I ask you, just examine your heart. And if you ain't saved, if you'll come down here and get a hold of my little old hand, I promise you, I'll pray with you. I can't save you, but I'll show you from the Word of God what it says. Amen? Is there anybody? Anybody at all? Christians, you pray. One of these days, church, it's going to be too late. I'm not going to drag this thing out. I promise you, it's going to be too late one of these days. Listen, God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven, amen? Praise God for these that's moved. Christians, you pray. The Holy Spirit have free reign and liberty. I'll tell you, church, that's a hard message, amen? But listen to me. Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you're thankful you'll miss the tribulation? Praise God that He made a way of escape that we'll not have to go through God's judgment.
Maybe you're standing out there and you say, "Preacher, I just don't know. I ain't trying to embarrass you. If you just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't ask you to come. I'll just pray for you. Is there just one?" Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'd be left behind." My, church. Bible says now's the time. Today is the day. Don't you let pride keep you there. Come to Jesus. He'll save you. Is there just one? He died for you. He loves you. He's prepared a place for us.